Chapter 9. My Spiritual Life Works. Spirituality is a foundation connecting you to a higher force. Ash Jeffrey. Ash Jeffrey is an individual who will keep you on your toes without you seeing it until it is all over, or until the project is complete. The man will rock you, taking you to the next level in a seemingly easy manner. The ride will always be one in which you are awake, even after a 24-hour drive through the heated desert. How does he do that? Ask him, because even after all these years, I still don't know, and I probably know him better than anyone, other than his wife. There is still an iceberg of greatness in him to be revealed. Those were the bold words written by Rock in his planned debut novel, a book about the working relationship between Ash and himself. A story of two men who admire meeting each other and inspiring one another to freedom. He wanted to finish the book and publish the book by the next year, given time and a conclusion, because for the moment, the two were still working together, and Rock saw no clear ending. Ash had revealed his life to Rock throughout the years, and the CEO had found their relationship worthy of telling. As ambitious as Ash was, so was Rock. Each had their own style, each pursued life differently, learning from one another because they shared openly the keys to a success. They were compatible in every sense of the word. Success, Ash had defined as that which you do freely at seemingly no expense. His daughter Devanshi had a field day with that one. Dad, there is an expense to success. Time invested, money spent, and the brain burn to get there. She thought she had him. Ash laughed. The family was enjoying Disneyland during a 3-day weekend, with Snow White waving hello from nearby. Lunch was in the works, as Indira waited for the hot dogs the girls craved. Divya was with Mom, leaving the eldest to chat with Dad. Devanshi, my divine one, let me explain how I arrived at this definition. And I want to clarify, it is my definition to serve me. If it serves you, all right, take it. I don't own it. Now, when you do what you love in life, the world in its physical sense disappears. You find yourself in a space belonging only to you. It is a freedom, a sense of harmony with all. And harmony brings everything together like a Beatles song that ends accentuating all that preceded it. There is no expense in being in that space. It is only a space occupied by you and all that is in the world. Dad, you're such a philosopher, but I learn from you. My friends say nobody has a family like ours. You need to teach the world these things, Dad, exclaimed Devanshi. You are much needed with so much strife and violence and conflict going on in the world, blurring the line between being human and being beastly. Gosh, the girl was growing her mind, now at age 16, being groomed for her own life as a leader one day. She was right. Ash saw an opportunity to finally say goodbye to the world of subcontracting while saying hello to actualizing his growing inherent wisdom. I'll make a deal with you. I will take you to Paris if you give me the path to sharing my knowledge with mankind. That's easy, Dad. Just do freely that which you want at seemingly no expense. Just then, Indira arrived with the hot dogs and soft drinks. Devanshi shouted, Mom, Dad is taking me to Paris.
Taking you to Paris? Why?
Oh, because I just gave Dad the key to changing the world. Really, Dad? How are you going to do that? Devanshi almost failed history this year, and you take her advice?
And you don't make cheerleader, so what gives?
Indira shook her head.
Would you let me in on this Paris thing?
Our eldest is more brilliant by the day, Ash responded, now turning to Devanshi.
The trip is for the whole family.
Divya asked,
What trip?
Devanshi couldn't help herself.
To Paris, you dummy. You sort of had to be there.
Rock was working,
writing his first novel, and now playing guitar with an 80s cover band from Huntington Beach. The dudes love to play Duran Duran and their contemporaries like Human League, The Psychedelic Furs, Prince, and a dose of Michael mixed in with a-ha tunes that went on for half an hour with the long guitar solos and lively piano improvisations. Life was fun. He was exercising again to regain his health, practicing yoga, and losing weight. The friendships mounting as everyone liked the golden boy rock, with his flashy Corvettes and slinky Porsches, poolside Sunday brunches at the beach house, and generous nature. He was calm, cool, and collected, a threat to no one. Life was like that for quite some time, with Rock enjoying every minute of it, the way a Zen Buddhist monk enjoys a profound meditation sitting in the sun. Ash, in contrast, during those times, spent more hours involved developing his spirituality, attending seminars, and doing the homework that came with it, starting and finishing new projects with lightning speed, though not because he rushed, but because his ideas were quickly appropriated by others. If you've ever had an exciting project, say, getting a block party together, there's always someone who wants to take it over, suggesting fireworks, decorations, and a basic theme to launch the event. You're sort of left with your hands empty, ultimately being grateful for the free time the person gave you by taking over the project, without your permission. One such Ash project was quickly taken over. His idea to start a drum group with Native American youth living in the San Diego urban area. The kids would learn to drum, and the songs that accompany the lyrics, growing knowledge of the tribe. And one day they'd perform in front of their parents and community, a proud day to be together, in a world of newfound knowledge. Ash took interest in this project after noticing young people were absent during a Native celebration held on a nearby Indian reservation flush with casino money. "Where are the young people?" he asked. No one answered, but Ash did not let the idea go to waste. He quickly asked someone the name of the person working with the youth on the reservation and called him one morning. He was asked to come to the office to present the project, did so, and heard no more until a week later he called again, only to be told the project was in place. "That was easy," said Ash, completing the seminar assignment. Soon he figured that if such projects were easy, he would take his daughter's advice and create his own seminar at last. This would be doing what he wanted to do with seemingly no expense, no work. It would be a project of love. His personal seminar was titled Conquering the Lion. Surely a catchy name, and certainly one that called out to those who saw their life as a train wreck, unable to straighten what had gone off the rails long ago, leaving them feeling helpless. Ash changed the title to Conquering the Lion instead of using Taming the Lion, because the word was more defining overall. While taming was synonymous to quieting, the word conquering had finality to it. In his seminar, Ash went on to inspire and motivate others to fruition using all he had learned in life, his examples coming from the days of failure, coupled with a guidance from the Great Spirit within, the mystery now unveiled to him by his rigorous search for truth and clarity. The day came, he had to speak to Rock. "I want you to know that you saved my life. I want you to know that my heart is filled with gratitude for you because I grew exponentially while learning by your side. You've been a great mentor and friend. My time is up now, and I am following my path wholeheartedly and full time." Rock was stumped. He did not expect Ash to leave the company, not while it was at a steady high, especially not without a job offer in sight. Did he want to fail once more? Hadn't he learned a lesson by leaving the Chicago job? What would Rock do without him? It was not quite betrayal, yet. "What are your plans?" Rock asked, holding down his heart, keeping it from jumping out of his chest, feeling betrayed, though first he had to hear from Ash. "My daughter drove me to realize my destiny in life. And that is what I am doing.
I am taking the steps necessary to live my passion in life, and selling my stocks here is the first step. I intend to give you 3 months' notice to lessen the transition."
He still had not revealed a business plan. Would he be going into the subcontracting business? Rock needed to know. After all, Ash had left a good job in the aerospace industry thinking he could join forces with the con man from Chicago. He could easily be repeating that mistake.
"No, I am keeping my word with you. I discovered that my spirituality works, that living in the world teaching others brings me great joy."
Rock sat motionless, unknowingly holding on to the arms of his chair as if falling fast. The world stopped turning as it does when one is taken aback. He wondered what this feeling was, this tingling of the skin, an electric current running through his veins. And it was then, in that very moment, that Rock realized what was missing from his own life. And that was helping others, something he always wanted to do, yet something he had no idea where to begin. Reflecting back, Rock realized that his most rewarding moments in life were his time in service of others. He loved helping his staff resolve issues, whether personal or business. He enjoyed supporting those in need, people he saw were hurting. He always gave a quarter or a dollar to a beggar on the street, no matter what. There were young people in this world living aimlessly, and if he had anything to say about this, he would help in every way he knew. Until that moment, though, he had simply forgotten what made him truly happy. Now, being struck by lightning, the thunderbolt jolted him into the future. He would figure out what program to implement to further his desire to help others, but that took time. It seemed he learned something new in life with every conversation he had with Ash. Ash, the guru.
"While I am sorry to hear your news, at the same time, I am thrilled because you have just gifted me in my life with your choice," he said, standing up to hug his dear friend, teacher, and mentee. "I just discovered that I feel powerful when helping others. I want to put that to use somehow."
"You have been a great mentor," Ash replied. "You have taught me one must invest in the self."
3 months later, Ash shook hands goodbye with every employee in the company, with a wise word for each, as through his tenure, he made certain to connect as a human being with every one of them, who he viewed as his support and connection to the future. Some wept openly. Others jumped with joy to know that moving up the ladder could not be more poignantly demonstrated, for there was not another company like this in the universe. Rock handed Ash his final check, an embarrassingly large sum that seems inappropriate to mention here.